There's an interesting episode in the Parsha where Moshe Rabbeinu, it's unclear exactly where he's going to do, because the Pasuk is it's a little bit of an ambiguous Pasuk. The beginning of Perek Yimel, Pasuk Aleph writes, Moshe Hayaroeth Son Yisrael Chosno Kohen Midyan, which I guess, I'm not sure why that information is relevant for this particular story. Vayin Hag Es Son Acher B'Hamidbar Vayavo Al Har Elokim Choreva. He was coming to Har Elokim Choreva. Did he know he was going to God's mountain? Did he not? I don't know. And here comes the story that's important. Vayera Malach Hashem Elav Balav Atesh Mitoch Hasneh Vayavini Hasneh Bore Vayesh Vasneh Nen Ukal. The word Sneh comes up over and over and over again. The famous story where Moshe sees the Sneh burning and it's not Ukal, it's not being burnt. And Moshe turns off the side from wherever he was going or whatever he was doing to take a look at what's going on over here, and he's intrigued. And eventually Hashem says to him, you know, Shal Nalechem Yal Raglecha, Ki Amachlo Mashiach Tomeid Olav Ad Miskodeshu, and Anochi Avicha, Anochi Elke Avicha, Elke Avicha, Elke Yitzchak, Elke Yaakov, and I want you to take the Jews out of Egypt. The Sfarno, it's the truth is a shot in the pasuk, but the Sfarno really highlights the point that it's Moshe's curiosity. Moshe's kind of doing his thing. He's going on his way. And all of a sudden, he sees this bush burning on fire, and it's not being burned up. And it intrigues Moshe's curiosity. And I think one of the reasons why the Chumash mentions that he was just a Roet Son Yisro, Chote Moshe, Chosno, as well as mentions Kohen Midyan, I'll describe that and say why they give Yisro the title here. We'll get to that in a second. It's because Moshe is just kind of doing his thing. He's on his way. He's doing his thing. He's not really interested in particularly. He's watching his business, and all of a sudden something intrigues him. Moshe, naturally, curiosity takes over, and there's a major discussion about the Malabale Musar, whether curiosity is a good Nida or a bad Nida. Maybe more acutely said, correctly said, it, when it's a good Nida, when it's a bad Nida. When should one follow the curiosity? When should one be careful about them? That's a worthwhile thing. But here's one of the examples. Intellectual curiosity, understanding, searching, seeking. You begin to see Moshe's desire to understand as a mevakish, as a rodef acher emes, as a person interested in understanding just how the world works. As a fire burning, not being burnt. The world of nature, the rules of nature being withheld. Look, what's going on here? And I think it specifically mentions the fact that Yisro was Kohen Midyan at the time to maybe allude to the fact that there are a lot of similarities between Yisro and Moshe. They're both seekers, they're both searchers. Chazal points out Yisro looked for every single god in the world. Moshe here also, who is watching the son of Chosno, Kohen Midyan, such a description, I wonder if it's somewhat reflective of Moshe's curious side as well. Moshe's side looking for religious, philosophical truth. The similarities are more than just that. At least according to Chazal, they both lived in Mitzrayim. People know the famous Midrash that Moshe, when all the astronomers and astrologists and whatever came to Paro and said, if the Jewish people wanted to take the Jews out, so Moshe went to Paro's crown and was sitting on his lap and whatnot, and Paro said, hey, this may be the baby boy who's going to take the Jews out. So Chazal points out that it was Yisro who made his suggestion. Let's test the boy, let's give him coals and gold, and which one he goes for, the famous Medrash Rezul, the Medrash Hashem took, the Malach took his hand and put him on the coals and put him on his mouth, and that's why he was, you know, Aral Sfasayim, he couldn't speak well. The point of the Medrash is not to know that Yisro was one of his assistants, or that's not the main point, but the upshot, one does see from the Medrash that Yisro apparently was one of the advisors to Paro, yet when Moshe is forced to flee, Yisro is no longer there. And in a certain sense, there's a certain parallel situation of Yisro and Moshe insofar as that they both were in Mitzrayim, they both were in Paro's palace, they both were court insiders, they both had Paro's trust, and yet somehow they both made their way out as outcasts. Somehow they both became outsiders. Somehow they both had left Mitzrayim. Maybe both of them looking for intellectual, philosophical truth. Moshe with his sensitivities towards the Jew being beaten by the Mitzri. Moshe for his sensitivity and love of life. Yisro, maybe for his quest and search for truth, maybe Yisro as well. You wonder how they lived together harmoniously for so long, whether it's 40 years or 60 years, it's a machlokas in the Medrash. Moshe definitely came back to power at age 80, but whether he left at 20 or 40, the machlokas in the Medrash Rabbah. But they lived together for 20, for 40 or 60 years, and you get the impression they had a wonderful relationship. So far as when Yisro comes back, Moshe gives him tremendous kavod. Rashi points out the honor he gives his father-in-law. Moshe later on in Bar Midbar invites his father to stay with them, to be a nayan for Klal Yisrael, to work with them, to be one of the leaders. And even if you read throughout Sefer Shemos, not the Chas Hashem suggests Moshe didn't have a wonderful relationship with his wife, but there's a lot of who Moshe married was not just Tzipora, but it was Yisro's daughter. And you get the impression Moshe and Yisro, both searchers and seekers of truth, neither one of them lived in the boxed-in, prepared life that the world, their society, or their culture had designed for them. Each one of them, in search of truth, broke out of the box, broke out of the planned life, broke out of Mitzrayim, found themselves searching and seeking somewhere outside of Mitzrayim. And although they both have a lot of similarities to them in the beginning, the ultimate difference is highlighted in Bamidbar, in Parak Yud, when Moshe invites his father-in-law to stick around. Vayomer Moshe lechovav ben Reuel, hamidjani chosei Moshe, no simanach lelamakom Hashem Hashem osoet ben lachem. We're going. Lechaitanu beitavnu lach, v'Hashem diber tov al Yisrael. Come with us, it'll be good for you, because Hashem promised good things for Klal Yisrael. I'm going home. Come, you can be a nayim for us. You can search out the future and look out. Search out the land, look, whatever a nayim means. Have some position of power. Maybe it means a scout, maybe it means a navigator. I'm not sure exactly what it is. It'll be great. It'll be good for you. And by the way, we know Yisro's interested in philosophical stuff as well as when it comes based on everything we said. And Yisro even came to Klal Yisrael by Yishma Yisro, Kohen Midjan. He came, he heard. What did he hear about the Machlokas in Medrash? About the Man, about the Milchamat Amalek, about the Matan Torah, the things he came for after Matan Torah, whatever else he came for. So you get the impression Yisro is going to stay. Let's review the conversation. Moshe says stay. Yisro says no. Moshe gives him good reason to stay. What would you expect to happen next? To stay, or at least to say no, but the pasuk just continues. Vayisume Hashem mehar Hashem derech shloshi yamim v'arum v'es Hashem yosef mehem derech shloshi v'hu b'tor lahem v'luch. Yisro doesn't stay. Yisro doesn't not stay. Yisro doesn't respond. The pasuk just picks up on a brand new topic, and they travel. It's an unbelievable story. Yisro, stay. No, no thanks. Come on, it'll be good for you. And then the Jews travel. Did the Chumash forget to mention, like, Yisro's answer? L'chor the pshat word. The Chumash is not telling you his answer directly, but implicitly, which is, Yisro didn't even have a response. Yisro kind of petered away to the side. He got cold feet and didn't continue. It's true Yisro may have been philosophically inclined to look for every single god in the world. Yisro had a broad appreciation of philosophy, but he didn't have the stick with it. He didn't have the commitment. The joke is, if you become a Rosh Yeshiva, you need a Rosh and a Yeshiva. Yisro may have had a Rosh, but he had no Yeshiva. Yisro could not sit and stay and commit. And he had no good reason to. Moshe giving him all the reasoning in the world, and Yisro can't even respond. The Jews just travel on without him. It's almost to suggest that there's a lot of benefit to gain from philosophical quests and from open-minded thought and from curiosity and from everything that made Moshe want to understand the world. But it's important to recognize all of that only is worthwhile if you're using it and focusing it and channeling it towards the Avodas Hashem. If you're going to end up learning philosophy just to be a philosophical person and do nothing with it, what did you gain? if you have a lot of philosophy in your mind at the end of your life and then you just die, what changed in the world? What occurred? Moshe Rabbeinu's caring, sensitive, philosophical, curious nature, the desire to understand, was used to make probably the greatest contribution in world history, if not one of the greatest, two or three. Moshe had this unbelievable power to deliver the entire package properly. That was an interesting, every time I fly, I meet interesting people. For some reason, Ina Masha Nassan, the other person who sticks next to me, the most fascinating people I've ever met. This past flight to America, I met two interesting people. One of them was a person I've talked to before from Sacramento, who was flying out to Israel for 6 months to learn military strategy and counterterrorist planning and homeland security stuff. He's living his wife and three kids for 3 to 6 months. He's not Jewish. And I'm like, Rabbi Akiva. He's like, what? I explained to him the whole story of Rabbi Akiva. He's like, yeah, I'm not really Jewish. I only know the word shalom. I hope I'll make it here. Like, well, if you want to say hello and goodbye to people, you'll do just all right. On the way into America, I met two other people, both interesting guys, both interesting people, wonderful people. One's a Maggid Shir in the Mir Yeshiva, and one's his brother, is a Rosh Kol, who's from Kol, with Sanhedrin, called Mikhail Yitzchak, who's in somewhere near Sanhedrin, I don't know exactly where. His Kol, he told me about his Kol, they learn Brachos, they learned 6 Brachos of Brachos in the last 2.5 years. I'm like, what Brachos are you going to make? An apple. He's like, hey, I wasn't going to hear you like that. In any event, we had a nice conversation. He asked me what I do. I told him I was at a hotel. He asked me why I was going in. This is called before TLN. I went in for 2 days, but we need to be done. I told him, I started telling him my story, what I was teaching there. I was doing the whole shiur, and I was, what I was teaching there. I gave a hashkafa shiur. I gave a halacha shiur. I told you, I spoke about hashkafa. I was talking about Ezra. He did that one of the vibes here. And then after that, he told me what he's giving shiur on, and I said, well, we spoke in learning a little bit. We spoke about other things. We spoke about hashkafa. We spoke about one thing. It came up in conversation. He had a point. He goes, people don't know how to take out of the gedolim what they have to offer, and the gedolim is just not the same as the previous generation. This is more like the point. So I said, listen, you're right. It's been in Yerid Kadosh, but we're supposed to have Yerid Kadosh. We're supposed to look at our gedolim differently than then we look at the previous generation of Gedolim, we're supposed to look at the many Gedolim in our generation, we're supposed to look at it differently than we look at Rav Moshe Feinstein or Rav Bechik and Rav Huttner and Rav Yaakov and Rav Aaron Kotler and whoever else. We're supposed to look at the Gedolim these days differently than we look at the previous Gedolim. That's the reason there are needs. And if you live in that generation, you look at Rav Moshe and you look at Rav Yaakov and you look at the Rav and you say, these guys are great Gedolim. However, it's not the same as the Chafetz Chaim and Reb Chaim Moser and Reb Chaim Salvation. You look at Reb Chaim Salvation and Reb Chaim Moser, says that same as the Chassam Sofer, that same as the Ki Vegan, that same as the Gra, the Gra is not the same as the Machab, and Machab is not the same as the Ritva. And you look back and take all the way back, you say, guys, the Rambam, and you look back, and the Rambam is wonderful, but compared to Ravina, Reb Ashi, Reb Yochanan, and Reb Shlokesh. You're always supposed to say that. You're right. That's only half the answer. I said, why? And because there's been two Yeridos in our door. Two steps down. The Yerida has been maximized. In other words, the gap is unique to our generation in terms of godless Torah to the previous generation. I said, I hear what you're talking about. I think you're right. Because I'm trying to figure out why it is, because the amount of Torah the Gedolim know is no less. I was thinking at the time, I didn't tell them these two stories, but the two stories I heard, I don't know if they're true or not. The fact that they could be true is my model. Supposedly, Rav Yasha was once asked how many times they said the word Moshe, and of course, he gave the right answer. I don't know, 638, whatever that means. They said, they put it to the Bar Ilan computer, and it said that was 636. He was off by two. He looked more carefully. One time the prophet said, Bishar umitet, men sin pay. The computer can catch that. And the second one was some other example. I thought also, also mentioned, hey, but not Moshe's name. And I was more impressed. I still heard Ravaggio say, they asked him how many times in the following 25 Svarim doesn't have the following terminology that comes up, it goes 71. Here's the story?
Yeah.
And it says, no, it's really 73. And you start looking, working out, and it's like, you're looking wrong. He goes, I didn't include the Yavia Omer and the Yechabedash. He didn't include his own spark. It's unbelievable. His mom was like off the charts. Like, I wish I had dreams to become such a big Talmud. And I dream a lot of things to become a Talmud. You know? Like, I don't even think about it. You know, so many stories, like the stories of the previous generation. The stories of one year on firm, he has to grow, it goes from every post, word by word, backwards in the Sefer Torah. Like, things you couldn't imagine a person knowing. Because it's worm, that's what you do. I don't know what many of them. There are gedolim in our generation who really know a lot of Torah. Who really do. Every time I've ever spoken to them, on our own base connection, anytime I've ever spoken to them, we spoke to them, we never had to look it up. Sometimes they gave me an answer, sometimes I don't know, sometimes they said, it's a bit cash, sometimes they said, look at the Pedagogue. There was never a point in time we had to say, let me just look at the Rashi again. And I must have asked him 30, 40 questions. Now, I don't know if it's because he has a really good memory, or because he finishes Shas 2 or 3 times a year, and he doesn't need a good memory. Well, my nafkamina. But there are people in the world, not just in our own base nefesh, who really know a tremendous amount. I didn't tell him these stories, but that's what I was thinking in my head. And I told him, here's what I think the reason is. I think there's been a major transition in the world when the world shifted from Slobodka to the Mir. One with the Rebbe in the mirror, so he didn't like it so much. But I said, what are you talking about? So I explained to him, there's a famous story where Yaakov comes to tell. But Yaakov says that when he was a Talmud in Slobodka, and he and Rav Aaron were the Chavrus or something like that, Rav Aaron Kolek, and Yaakov tells the story when he was in Slobodka, so the Mashkiach of the Mir came to visit, so you were in Slobodka. And he says he was sitting in the Mashkiach, the Alter's office, the Alter's Slobodka, Rav Nassim Tzitzenko, the original one, not the one in the mirror now, the original Rav Nassim Tzitzenko, the Alter's Slobodka, he was a Mashkiach, and he was a tremendous powerhouse. At some point in time, remind me how you say that Rav Nassim Tzitzenko, that's the Alter's Slobodka. You guys say, Slobodka, because you know that Slobodka, that's what I'm saying, you want to know Slobodka, look at my daughter. Because, I was constantly crying. If a man walks in the room with a crest, and then he's not wearing, humbling over with last week's challah down his shirt, with having brushed his teeth in 2 weeks and he's missing a tooth to get replaced, he's got food left in his beard, snoring. You know what I'm saying? It's the exact same thing you see on the door. You understand what it means, like, it's a budget. So the author is even more. Even more. Even, I'm saying, it's difficult to imagine more. Tell the story, the album of Slobodka was yelling at them, and they were broken apart. The Yaakov tells me, like, now she's got battered dog. He's never seen anyone being ripped to shreds before in life. The Yaakov playing both the albums, telling them what they're looking for. He says, you in the mirror, you may come in and look the same, act the same, think the same, but it's such a uniform. But it's a pregam to the Talmudim. You're undermining the potential. It's a pregam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us look different, act different, think different, but he wants himself to be reflected differently in the world. That's a Chilul Hashem. Like, tearing into the world. And I suggested to him, I thought, that sometimes the whole world, these days, seems to be going a little bit. The amount of ideas occur, the same that people are institutionalized. People don't have this freeness of thought that Moshe Rabbeinu had. I'm not suggesting freedom without limitations. I'm not suggesting without rules. I'm not saying become some crazy hippie person with marijuana and a guitar singing a song at the top of the mountain. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying do something crazy. But sometimes the goal in our lives is just to become institutionalized. Just to fit into the box and life plan that people have. I say, godless the total. Slobodka, different world. You read this farm written by Rav Hutner, Pachad Yitzchak. You read Emes Yaakov, a different type of philosophy. It's truly looking at the machine, but they found themselves, they found their niche. It's all within them together. It's all within the world. It's from Kai, but the differences, the nuances, the ability to, on one hand, maintain normalcy, maintain a hashkafa and a well-rootedness within the system. But on the other hand, to develop independent thought. The Chazal, right, I think it's the Medrash, I think it's the Gemara, Chazal say the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us different faces is to reflect our different personalities. Right? They all have the reason why Hashem put so many different personalities in Torah is because you're supposed to realize each one is different. Avraham is different from Yitzchak, and they're both different from Yaakov, and all three are different from Moshe, we're different from Aaron. You want to talk about the women, Sarah and Leah are different from each other, and Rachel is different from both, and Rivka is different from all of them. Growing in godless the Torah requires what everyone knows, knowledge, ideas, shita after shita, position after position. One of the reasons why we do chazar is you should walk out of a day like this with 50, 60 shitas in your pocket and know them, remember them, take them with you. When you read Rava, that's how, oh yeah, three shitas, Rashi, Tosis, and Gizar. You have it with you. What's the difference? And she talks about Tachimu. You have it with you to memorize, to know, to attain, to acquire knowledge. But beyond that, to become an independent thinking person, to grow in godless Torah in all the areas, in areas of curiosity, in areas of sophistication of thought, in areas of profundity of perspective, in areas of kavanah b'tefillah, in areas of midos with each other. I was thinking to myself a week or two ago, I got a little bit depressed. Not very depressed. Every once in a while, I get very humble. How much more Torah, how great that the sea of Torah is. Once in a while, I remind myself of Rebbe Akiva going out to the rock, you know, the hole in the rock, and saying, wow, Torah is unbelievable. He did it. I tell myself, if he did it, I could do something. And then, like, you know, famous Medrash, Medrash says, you know, a fool walking into a room, he's ready to tap the field, he doesn't know how to get it. He's on the start. A wise man says, go and put it there, and you can get it. If all this power was worked and taught and written, you can accomplish it. And once in a while, I really remind myself to go do that. Once in a while, I get depressed before I have to remind myself to go do it. I look at, you know, the Uncle Moshe song comes to mind, goes, you know, there's so many farm in the library, it'll take so long to learn everyone, I'm afraid I'll never become a Talmud Chacham. Whatever. There's the Uncle Moshe song, when I was in Kehem Orishah. There was a couple of kids in the Marsha Beis Medrash used to play this song all the time to motivate themselves to learn more and learn more. Stop. You know, I was thinking to myself, you know, I was going through Ibn Harusa Friday morning. The guy in that community goes through a tshuva to a Moshe Feinstein. You need to do a different tshuva. I felt that that was, when I was younger, I spent most of my time learning Gemara, even in the years that I wanted. I thought that was the most important. I spent 95% of my time doing that. I spent a lot of time. Because I knew I'd be a Rebbe at some point in time, and I always felt that you have to have good answers to the Talmidim. Down Ashkash, like the Kars, the Chas Hashon, like Talmidim. At the Kars, I mean, should answer to the Kars' questions. You know, should be able to have their basic philosophical presentation, good answers to the things, and able to leave. I thought that was very important. But I never really focused in too much on halacha. And I wanted to know just enough to keep, but I never really had a real halakha sense. So I picked up this halakha theta, and it came across the truth of the Moshe part of the Machlokas in the Magen Avraham. You know, Machlokas I wasn't familiar with, the Magen Avraham, the Tad, I got the point disappointed. I should have known. Yeah, I never learned every Magen Avraham, the Tad, and Moshe Tzvil. I've never really set myself up properly to fall like Moshe Tzvil and Shulchan Aruch. I don't want to die before I go through every single mother from the children. And then I realized I need to set up a better plan. And I guess my point is, number one, which I spoke about the most of the time, which is dream about godless the Torah. And number two is recognize godless the Torah is more than memorizing the Pshita. But number three is develop a plan to get there. Have the right goals to develop a plan. If the plan is finishing stuff in this year, set a pace. You guys have these charts of how many days of daf a week you have to learn. How many Mishnah Berurahs a day do you need to see? How many, you know, pages of, I don't know what, the Rambam and the Hakdamah of Perush Mishnayos, the Zal Hashba. How many Magen Avraham a week? I want to, you know, I heard of Yaakov Katz talking, you know, a few months ago. I mean, he was saying, he's an old man, now he's going to finish up Yerushalmi. You know, I was thinking the exact thing I'm saying, it's a set of pace. that by X time and X time and Y time, wherever you're at, you're conquering more and knowing more in all the areas of God's Torah. Whether it be knowledge, whether it be character traits, whether it be nidos, whether it be knowledge of Shachs and Tazim in Yeridaya, whether it be Ebenezer's and Sfonos on Chumash, and again, you have to calculate how much, at which point in time, and where you're at. You know, I don't think anyone should be doing Sfonos and Ebenezer's during morning skill. Morning skill, you want to work on your Ian skills, and the rest of your life you can be learning Ian well, as well as this year Pesachim. But my point is, dream ambitiously, plan on conquering a lot, have realistic expectations, but dream with ambition in all the areas, in midos, in Havanas HaTorah, in Shitas of Torah. I told my dad a story about myself on the plane. These two guys, he said, I'll add in one more point. I said, let me cut you off, my dad. I said, the point that I was having, the point he's about to make, which is half, a large percentage of the Tzionish people have this whole other dimension of creativity and independence of thought. You read the new stuff that's coming out now for that. And there are Tzionim who don't, who are Mamash Holden Shach and Posen as well. But there are plenty of Tzionim Rosh Hashiva who have this whole other area of thought and breadth and, you know, philosophical depth to their presentation. And they're lacking in every single Shach and Tazim. There are certain Gedolim who have more of this, and certain more of that. And my point is not to speak to Gedolim. Chris Hashem, one day I'll fall subject to the shadow. I'll say to the shadow they walk in. Instead of a plan of what to learn, who take advantage of? One, the people of Yeshiva, take advantage of. You're going to regret not having asked them about 2,000 passions. You didn't do it. Asking questions in Gemara, asking questions in Halach, asking questions in Tzedakah. One day I'll tell my grandchildren, yeah, you asked me that question, I asked them that question, tell me here's the Halach. I know the Mishnah verse is that, but that's the passing different. I asked him, are you sure? He goes, yeah. He's talking about Sefer Chinuch and showed me. He's talking about Sefer Chinuch. I was surprised he did that. It was just in Halach, the question, because that's all you asked me. You want to appreciate what Slobodka is about? Go here, everybody, you can have. Listen to him, hear him. He's a tremendous powerhouse personality. If you want to appreciate what it means to be mamashim, close to what you see in my knowledge, watch my character. Unbelievable how much he knows about everything and anything. I mean that sincerely. You want to gain from review, then later one thing you gave to the Rashid. Every person gives you this mind. You want to gain how a person can be aligned, but also be able to look at the talent. There are growing breadth and perspective. There's so many different people in yeshiva to take advantage of. Set goals of taking advantage of people. Set goals of finishing Shas. Set goals of breaking it. And if you can't, goal is not to finish Shas in Shana Aleph. Figure out, okay, this year I'm going to be Psachim. Next year, the Yeshiva is learning whatever we're learning. I'm going to conquer that 2 years from now. And the reality is, I learned the Sechta a year, whatever I learned. Yes, Hashem, I'll finish Shas, but I can't conquer the Sechta, I'm learning. But whatever the plan is, set a plan. Dream of greatness. Break out of the box that life very often puts us into of amaratzis and lacking religious ambition, lacking religious zeal, lacking religious drive. And challenge yourself and ask yourself, what is religious excellence for me? And how do I find a plan? How do I get a plan to get? How do I get working on it? Have a chance.